You are now locked in to another episode of the Real Soulful Podcast with Joe Wrights.
No one's ever met a comedian.
I've never met a comedian before. This is my first interaction with a comedian. Why are you doing your face like that?
No, because I've realised that, like, when it comes to stand-up comedy, it's quite an older thing. Like, you don't really find
young people doing
stand-up.
That's very true. I don't.
Or at least young black people doing it. You find, like, young white people doing it.
I don't know, young women doing stand-up.
Yeah, that's another thing. There aren't many black female comedians in the UK.
How'd you get to comedy?
Uni.
Uni?
Yeah.
Performing, like, ACS and all that kind of thing there.
Can you imagine?
So, how did you get into comedy?
So I studied drama, and then in my last year, I had a module in stand-up comedy. So once I did that, my lecturer just said, like, it comes really naturally to you, and you should definitely do it.
Oh, so you went into it wanting to do acting to begin with?
Yeah. So, like, I've always loved stand-up, but it's not something I ever thought I could do.
Yeah.
Because it's a very daunting thing to do.
Daunting in what sense? As in being in front of people?
You're standing in front of people and essentially jokes. They're saying, make me laugh, pussy. Or, like, that's literally what they're saying. You know what I mean? That's so intimidating.
Hello.
You literally have to. And thinking of things to make people laugh constantly is crazy.
So how did you kind of, like, build the, resistance to overcome that then? And be like, yeah, I'm going to do it. I'm going to run it. Just better practice. Do you have a fear of speaking in front of people?
No, because I've always been a performer.
Yeah.
So, like, from, like, the age of three, I've been on stage. So, I know being on stage is... I'm always nervous, but it's comfortable for me.
Okay, cool.
But
it's like a good nervous.
Yeah, but comedy is completely different because you can't hide.
Like, I can imagine.
When you're acting, you're hiding. You're playing a character. But comedy is...
Comedy is actually just you and you alone.
It's actually just you.
Yeah. It can be scary still, I'll be real.
It's terrifying.
Yeah, let's get into it. Yo, what to do, people? This is Real Soulful, episode 69. Are we on 69? Yeah, we are on 69. God damn. Why are you laughing? Because he said dirty.
He said dirty.
Yeah, come on. We've got a big guest in the studio, as always. I'm not going to introduce her. I'm going to let her introduce herself.
Oh, me?
Yeah.
All right,
yeah. Let the people know what's up.
It's Kyra Gray. I'm a comedian. I do funny stuff.
Yeah, you do funny stuff. I'll be real. Yeah, actually, do funny stuff. Do funny stuff.
It's my bag.
You know what? Yeah, you know what the thing about comedy is. I feel like, do you think it's getting a bit watered down now in regards to, like, okay, you know what? I'll ask you this: is there a difference between those who make skits and actual stand-up comedians?
Yeah.
Is there a fine line between the two? Yeah.
100%.
You think so?
Yeah.
So, like, the people that you see that do skits, do you think they could be on stage doing comedy, like stand-up? Like those that appear on your pages and stuff like that.
It's really difficult because there are people that can do both.
Yeah.
And those people are unstoppable. But when there are a lot of people that can only do online stuff.
Fairs.
Because it's really easy to write stuff down. It's not easy, but when you're writing stuff down, you can practice it and you can edit it and you can
fine tune it your way. Yeah, fairs.
Your audience will all like it. But when you're on stage,
it's raw. Yeah.
If you forget something, you're done. Yeesh. It's a lot of
stand-up is mad. Do you have hecklers, like the times you've ever performed? Do you get people heckle you when you go to, like, comedy clubs and stuff like that?
Do you know what? I've never had a bad heckler. I had one woman, she just started pouring out her heart to me, man. I was just like, oh.
What? Or what, as in on the set?
So I have a set about, like, different types of men.
Okay, do you tell?
One of the types of men that I'm telling women to stay away from is baby fathers.
Why?
So, like, because baby fathers are just, they never have their own car, they never have money, do you know what I mean? Like, they're just, you know, but it's the specific type of baby father, you know what I'm talking about. They're always driving their baby mom's car. Like, when you see them, they just look scatty, do you know what I mean?
Jesus Christ.
So, I was explaining and I was going through my set and she was like, yeah, and they hide in your bushes. I said, they hide in your bushes. She was like, yeah, and they stalk you, and they do this. I said, I just stopped my.
Do you feed off it? Do you feed off, like, those that heckle?
Yeah.
You feed off it.
So, like, instead of doing my set, I just said, talk to me, man. You're right. I can.
Well, you lot just went back and forth with each other for that whole thing.
She was just talking to me, and I was like, I think you need help. Be honest. I don't think you need a comedy show. I think you need
help, bro. Who were you looking up to growing up, man? Obviously, you said you started out doing acting. So when she, like, kind of made that transition from acting to comedy, did you have any people that you're, like, kind of, like, looking up to or researching to kind of, like, get your experience from? Would you say, like, your favorite comedians are?
In terms of US comedians, mm-hmm. even before I started pursuing stand up, people like Bernie Mac.
Bernie's funny, bro.
Just they're proper veterans in the game. Like when you watch them perform,
kings of comedy.
Yeah, like, it's just so natural. Yeah. They don't even need material. They can just talk to the audience and they're just bouncing off of it. And the vibe is just, it's unmatched. Mm. Kevin Hart as well.
Kevin started off great, man.
Listen, no, but you know what?
Kevin started off great, this. And you know what? You know, I have a theory about comedians. Yeah? I feel like, and only Dave Chappelle is out of this mix, but I feel like comedians are so much more funny when they are poor.
Yeah, 100%.
When they are in the gutter, the jokes are raw, they're authentic, they're relatable. The more rich and famous they get, the more watered down the jokes get. And I feel like that's kind of the, don't get me wrong, like Kevin Hart, he's talented. Like he's talented.
He's a funny guy. Like but even
Go on.
It's just the way of the world. You know what I mean? Like once you, when you're poor, or when you haven't made it yet, you can talk about absolutely anything. And especially when Kevin was coming up, people weren't that sensitive.
Like, yeah, exactly.
The things
that's
that he
true.
Could get away with saying, people were more likely to just laugh at it, and like it was just funny because it was uncensored. He was talking about his dad being a crackhead, and how he used to swing his dick around. You know what I mean? But obviously, like as his career's gone on, he's got in trouble for things that he said.
Yeah, facts. We saw it recently, like 2 years ago, the Oscars. Exactly. Was it 2 years ago? Yeah, I think
it was
2 years ago.
The Oscars. So now he has to be a lot more cautious, and obviously now he's so much more busy where he's not writing his stuff anymore.
Yeah, facts.
So it's other people writing his stuff. Material, so of course it's not going to be the same. Mm, you know how hard it is to constantly think of like an hour worth of funny things to say?
How long does it take you to write material?
It varies. Sometimes I just think of something funny and I'll just write a
set. Just write it down, okay.
And then sometimes I'll think of a few funny lines and it'll take me a couple of days to kind of like
put it together. Fairs.
But yeah, it depends, man. It really does depend.
Nah, comedy is it's a beautiful thing and it's a scary thing. I feel like, like you were saying, yeah, in regards to like the times we're in, like so, like for example, Def Comedy Jam, that is probably the most raw comedy that I've seen in the last like decade. Like absolutely just pure rawness, bro. And I feel like we don't get things like that anymore because like you said, like the times we're in, it's crazy. Like you can't make a joke and like people are laughing because it's like, everybody's trying to scrutinize every little thing that you say and you can't get away with it. And I feel like that's the downfall of a lot of comedians these days, man. You gotta be watchful of what you say.
Yeah, like
is it taken away from the art?
Dangerous. I feel like we're getting to a point where, don't get me wrong, because one of my main things is that I don't really disrespect people on stage. Like I make fun of like men and like certain types.
Of course you do.
Do you know what
of
I mean?
Of course
but
you do.
I have to, but
of course you
I don't
do. You don't have to. No, you don't say that. You don't have to.
No, I
you
do.
Don't have
I'm
to.
Speaking from my experience.
Oh, so
do. It comes out, but it's not a thing where I'm disrespecting someone to the point where they're offended. But comedy is getting to a place where you can say anything. Like I know someone did a set about COVID and how they're not taking it seriously. And there was a nurse in the audience. That got
Jesus
upset.
Christ.
She was like, well, I've been working 24 hours shifts and I don't find it very funny. You know what I mean? It's just like, I don't think, you know, we didn't come here for that energy. Yeah, do you know what I mean? Like you came here to laugh. You didn't come here for common sense. Nine times out of 10, the things that comedians say, they're just chatting shit.
They're chatting shit.
They've made it up. They just thought of something funny. It doesn't mean that they don't actually believe in
it. I mean,
COVID.
Dave Chappelle used to say it the best. He used to say, like in regards to like trying to pull jokes here and say things that you know are obviously very, very either disrespectful or can get you cancelled. It's got to be funny to the point where those you're making fun of, like they know that it's the truth kind of thing. You get that way, you kind of get away with it more.
It has to be tasteful.
Yeah, it's got to be tasteful. Yeah, it's got to be tasteful. Very, very tasteful.
There are a lot of comedians that complain about the fact that they can't say what they want. And it's because their comedy has always just been centered around like disrespecting people. Like, there are so many comedians in the UK, men, that whose sets have just centered around disrespecting black women. And I've seen them for years.
God.
And what they're saying isn't even funny. But you have men in the audience like, yeah, that's so true. Oh my days, horsehair. And it's just like, it's never been funny. So those type of comedians complain because you've never actually been funny.
So what would be the difference between now and back then? Because we had those sort of comedians back then as well.
Yeah, but now you're more likely to call it out.
Okay,
first. I even did a show the other day.
Yeah.
And it was this white man. He had like curly hair. And he was on stage saying, oh, there's two things that black women lack. And it's lacking the relationship department, and it's the fact that they got bad hair and they have an attitude.
I
said, hold up, nigga, hold up. The fact that you had the confidence to come to a black comedy show and say that, I was fuming.
Oh, he was white and he said
He was a white man standing on stage and there were black men saying, yeah, ha, 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 ki. I said, yeah? And all the black women were fuming. And then when I went on stage, I said, first of all, what we're not going to do is allow this Peter Pan looking guy with a jerry curl to come and disrespect any black woman. We're not about to do that.
Facts.
And he got up and he left. Because you're not going to do it. It's disrespectful. Be tasteful with
tasteful
your content.
Comedy. So then how do you like try and be tasteful with your comedy? Because you said you talk about like things from experience.
Yeah.
So you made a very, very, I'm going to call you out on this actually, because you put it on your Instagram story. What were you saying about Nigerian men yesterday or the day before yesterday? Elaborate for the listeners.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I saw it on your page. Something about Nigerian men and staying away from them. Care to elaborate on that, please? This is the tasteful stuff that we're talking about here.
You know.
So I would like to know.
I'm gonna need you to clarify.
Okay. What we can do is we could go on your Instagram.
Oh, you're gonna go on the Instagram.
Yeah, we can go on your Instagram. My doctor. Oh, you even did a TikTok. Wow, this is insane.
TikTok.
Okay, my doctor breaking down all the damage after dating a Nigerian man. Right, let's have a listen to this, shall we?
And you were diagnosed with inoperable brain tumor and given 4 months to live.
Okay, I'm gonna watch it again one more time, just to clarify. Sorry, listeners.
You had three heart operations. You suffered two cardiac arrests. You died twice on the operating table. Mm-hmm. You had a stroke.
Oh, this from dating Nigerian men. Right. Okay.
It's all in good faith.
You died twice and had three cardiac arrests.
What did we do to you?
Tell me, please. What have we done to you guys?
I'm speaking from the experience of the people around me.
The people around you, not you specifically.
No. Do you know what I mean? I've had a couple running. You know what I mean? Like Nigerian.
So what have the experiences been like?
Nigerian men just are different, man.
Women like doing this. I feel like this is now a trait for you guys, especially with Nigerian men. You love saying that now, man. Oh my gosh, don't date a Nigerian guy. He's such a demon.
But it's not cap.
You use that as personality traits now. Oh my gosh, Nigerian guys, be away.
Because as much as I cuss, I don't cuss Nigerian men, but as much as I tell people stay away from them, I would never meet a guy and if he says he's Nigerian, be like, nah, sorry. I would never do that. Do you know what I mean?
Okay.
But there's certain things that Nigerian men do.
Such as?
And you can't even, like, Nigerian men are so prideful.
When has that been a bad thing?
When
has that been a bad thing? Do elaborate. When has that been a bad thing?
Nigerian man's pride is nuts.
When has that been a bad thing?
It's crazy.
Yes, we take pride in ourselves.
No, but it's too much. Do you know what I mean? Like, there's nothing wrong with being proud of who you are and knowing where you come from.
Yeah.
But when it comes to the you can't even take a joke or... Like, you just take things too seriously. Everything's like, I'm an alpha man. I'm an alpha male. You know, I'm not a beta. You can't talk to me like that.
Hello.
No, man. I hate all of that stuff.
Swear down. Okay.
And obviously, people around me have had bad experiences. So it's all in good fun. It's making fun of
situations.
And finding the humor out of a bad situation.
What's been like the rudest joke you've made?
Okay.
Or the one that people was like, nah, Kara, that's not funny.
No one said that's not funny, but people have been like, you're taking the piss.
Okay, what joke is this?
I talk about men with receding hairline.
I actually need to breathe.
Every time I say I have a set about men, I have a set about men, and these are all the things that I'm talking about in this one set. It's not like all of my sets are about men. But in the set I have about men,
yes,
one of the men I'm telling people to stay away from as men with receding hairlines. But it's the ones with receding hairlines that won't let their hairline go. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's completely different if you shave.
As in, they're holding on to it for dear life.
Holding on to it. Like, you know it's gone. Like, you know it's finished.
You know what it does to a man to notice that his hair is receding?
But just shave it off. Do you not think it looks worse? It's here.
It's not as easy as you think.
And you're shaping it up.
It's not as easy as you think. This is a life's work.
It's not a life's work, man.
Going down the drain.
You're going to your barber And he should even be giving you 50% off because it's not even a full shape up because your half your head is gone. Do you know what I mean?
Let us live, man. Let us live. No, let's hold on to the.
It's outrageous.
Let's hold on to the good things of this life, bro.
Just go bald. So we got. Why left. Not just go bald?
Some men don't look good bald. They know it. They know.
You look even worse with your hairline deteriorating. So why not just go the full way?
Oh my days. How's the whole women in stand up for you? Do you like it? Do you see a lot of women in stand up?
No.
Not at all.
Like, there's a few, but 90% of the shows that I do, 99% of the shows that I do, I'm the only woman. So if there's another woman, I'm the only black woman.
Damn. Do you think it's an advantage for you? Does it feel like it makes you stand out a little bit more? Because there's less to compete with then.
It's a blessing and a curse.
Yeah.
Because there's less competition for me. But at the same time, it's really sad that not black women aren't getting enough recognition within the game. Do you know what I mean? So that's one of the main things why I'm doing it, because I know that there are so many black women that are hilarious, and hopefully once I get to a certain point, I'm able to, do you know what I mean?
No, I'll be real. I do, like, for example, we're talking about like skits and stuff. I do see a lot of women, like for example, the TikTok, Instagram, and I'm not gonna lie, there's some funny content out there, bro. But again, that's what I say, the difference between skits and then obviously stand up. I feel like there's such a big disparity between the two. I couldn't see some of the girls that I see do like funny like TikToks and stuff or like skits. I don't know if they could have that same like urge to like be in front of a stage with a microphone and tell jokes for like an hour, bro. How long are your sets?
My sets are like anywhere between like 5 to 15, 20 minutes.
Okay.
So I feel like, especially with our generation, we have such short attention spans. So it's a lot easier to be funny in 5 seconds, 10 seconds, 15 seconds. And then being funny for 20 minutes is a whole different thing. Do you know what I mean? I feel like people don't even see stand-up comedy as an option for them, which is crazy.
What do you mean? As in to go into?
Yeah, because there are so many funny people, but they would never think,
stand-up.
Yeah, let me get into stand-up.
It's a hard thing to do, I'll be real. Like, I couldn't see telling jokes for 30 minutes, bruv. And you've got to kind of like build it in like a, it's not like, oh, one joke after the next. It's almost like a plot, like a storyline kind of vibe, you get. So I don't know, like that's a very, very hard skill to do, man. Kudos to you, bro, because I don't know how people do it, bro. Do you like, how do you, in regards to like writing your jokes, is it a thing where you got to start small and then like you build, or you just go straight in, just punchline after punchline after punchline?
My thing is that I need to kind of get the attention at the beginning.
Yeah.
And then, so I'll just be like, I don't know, I hate kids. Or like, do you know what I mean? Like, men are dickheads. And then from that, people are
Let me
sit first. Up real quick. And then I can go into the stories. Yeah. I'm giving you examples. I'm explaining first. Why. But people get bored, man. You can't take too long to kind of get to the funny parts.
Yeah. Who are your favorite comedians? So you said Bernie Mac, who else like is in your...
You know, in terms of UK,
UK Brown, first.
Yeah,
Kane Brown. Okay, yeah.
Is the funniest and the most talented comedian in the UK. Like, hands down, this guy will come on stage with no preparation,
nothing whatsoever.
And do a 25, 30 minute set just talking to the audience.
Improv is crazy.
The skills he has, like, just watching him perform.
Oh, you've seen him perform, yeah?
Yeah, okay, definitely. You just feel inspired. You don't even know how his brain works. It's impossible.
Mm.
But yeah, Kane Brown is, and obviously Mo the comedian.
Yeah, Mo's big, man. Mo just got a special as well coming out.
Yeah.
So that's
I think
dope.
It's the one I saw it live.
That's dope. How did you feel about the whole situation with him and his missus? Do you remember that was going on for a second? They were saying something about
I found that so shady because they knew what they
How did it even start? Like, I can't remember what they said. I think there was an arc of him moving into a new house, right? Something like that.
And then Shade Barra tried to post it.
Yeah, they revealed.
Weren't really paying attention to it, so they posted something else. You know what you're trying to do.
They revealed it of him getting with a white woman.
But and, it's crazy because you can't. Mo doesn't disrespect black women. He doesn't disrespect his community. Like, he's been trying so hard.
Yeah,
to uplift his community and bring opportunity to people that inspired him to get into comedy.
Yeah. He's
been grafting for the black community within comedy. So for you to now try and
focus on something else,
so tacky and cheap.
It's very cheap.
It was just disgusting, man. It just shows how people don't care as whatever gets a story, whatever brings them traffic, they will do whatever, man. They don't care.
Do you get scared that once you like start rising up and stuff, it's going to be the same in regards to like people
terrified,
people pulling you down for just measly stuff, bro?
Every day, I'm like, guys, listen.
And it's worse for comedians as well. We just had Kojo not too long ago that was receiving a serious backlash for, you know, you guys know the story. I'm not going to get into it.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, obviously, and that's that thing about, obviously, when you get high into like your comedy career, like the more things you say,
you have to be careful.
You got
to
be very careful. I remember there's been a time with Ed, Uncle Ed, he used to do some very fugazi stuff, bro. He used to do some fugazi stuff. Oh, and I won't lie to you, it was funny. It got to a point where it was funny and then it was like questionable. And I was like, oh, come on, bro, you can't not be saying this. But for me, I feel like that's the beauty in stand-up, in comedy. Like, saying the most ridiculous things.
Yeah.
But like you said, one is tasteful and two is creative.
Exactly.
If it's not done creatively and it's not done tastefully, then it can come across as like, yeah, this is not funny at all.
So you can always tell because like, so for example, I don't know if you know who Gary Owen is.
Gary Owen, nah, doesn't ring a bell.
Have you watched Think Like a Man?
Yeah, yeah.
The white guy.
Oh yeah, Gary Owen, yeah. Okay, so yeah.
In real life, he's
oh, is that his name? Fuck, okay, cool, yeah.
He's married to a black woman, innit?
Yeah, you see, so, the thing is, yeah, Gary, I don't know, do you feel like he forces this whole ATO sounding? Gary does a lot still, I'm wrong.
But he's loved by the black community.
Yeah, I always see in the comments, bring him to the cookout.
They love him.
All them comments
there.
Yeah,
I hate that stuff. I hate that. Well, bring him to the cookout stuff. Please, man. Any white man that just has to say, yo,
what's popping? What's going on?
Come on, man. But when it comes to Gary Owen, I feel like I laugh at a lot of his stuff. I think he's hilarious.
Yeah.
And he does it in a tasteful way. Like, he's not, even when he's talking about, like, he
like
loves
the stereotypes.
Being black famous,
yeah,
and like,
because
when black men come up to him, they're like, hey, da-da-da-da. He's not doing it in a way that's offensive, but the audience are like, oh, it's true, we do that.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. When you're going to make like distasteful jokes,
yeah,
or jokes that you think might get you called up on, it's got to be factual as well. Like, people,
yeah, like, you can't just take the piss out of people, especially if you're talking about race or like gender or sexuality. Yeah, yeah. You have to be very, very careful. And that's why I tend to like, even, I don't really talk about sex too tough in my sets. I try not to be like vulgar. One of the main things is that I'm a bit worried that people will take it the wrong way.
In what regards?
Because some people, like, even I did a video about men lying about their sex game, and a meme page posted it.
Oh, swear down.
99% of the comments were laughing, but there are a few comments like, oh.
You're always going to get that though.
No, but I was just, as soon as I saw 3 negative comments, I said, I need to come off this page.
You're always going to get that. What were they saying?
Some guy was like, oh, imagine if this was your daughter on the internet talking about
Jesus
sex.
Christ, bro.
Some other guy was like, black women have no respect for themselves anymore. I said, huh? How did we get
hey,
here?
Hey, yo, brother,
like,
calm down.
Do you know
calm
what
down.
I mean? And I don't have respect for myself.
Calm it down. Solid joke.
It was outrageous. And I'm just like, you're the ones I'm talking about. You're the ones with little pieces.
The triggering stuff.
100%.
Trauma.
So that's why I don't disrespect men, because the only people that get triggered
are men.
Are the joke men. So you're who I'm talking about. So I don't really get, yeah. But yeah, you have to be very careful, man.
Tiffany Haddish is another example. She's like very, she's very like,
Americans get away with a lot more. Tiffany Haddish is hilarious.
You think so?
And she can be as vulgar as she wants because...
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
In America, you can be black famous and still be very, very successful. In the UK, you can be black famous, but you can be stuck in the same place for a very, very, very long time.
Interesting.
Like, in the urban comedy circuit, there's a glass ceiling over it. So you can reach the top of the urban comedy circuit.
Yeah.
And you'll be comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
But like, you can't really... You can't really sustain there. Yeah, like you need to cross into the mainstream. Whereas like in America, Dave Chappelle doesn't really need everyone to like him because he's unstoppable.
He's good, everyone's
behind him.
He's so good.
Everyone can try and lock him off and try to cancel him all you want, but his community's behind him.
Thanks.
And in the UK, we don't really have that as much.
So but then would you say the comedy scene is a little bit saturated? And if talking about men specifically, because obviously, like I said, I don't really see a lot of women doing stand up, but I know like guys bias is very, very like saturated.
Yeah.
Like you've got different sorts of comedians, but I don't feel like everybody is I don't know. I'm not in the comedy space, innit? So maybe you can enlighten me on this, but I don't know. Maybe people aren't really as, like, you know, supportive of one another as they should be.
They're definitely not. And stand-up comedy isn't as popular over here as it is.
Yes, that's another thing. Where do you even go to watch stand-up? That's another thing.
Like, and that's what I've realized. A lot of my friends, yeah, the first time they saw stand-up comedy live is when they came to watch me.
Damn, okay.
And they were like, oh, shit, this is lit. This, like, is it, yeah. Why haven't I come here before? And it's because it's not really a thing for the younger generation to say, let me go to a comedy show.
That's an old man vibe right there.
That's what my mum would do. Like,
that's an old head. Like, yeah. That's an old head move right there, bro. Let's go watch some comedy. The comedy show.
That's literally the problem. That's why people don't see it as an option. That's why people are so shocked when I tell them I do stand up comedy, because there's, I honestly feel like if we're not careful, stand up comedy in the UK will just fade away, because everyone's just used to just being funny online. And
that's the thing. We've got skits. 30 seconds or less, man.
That's it.
Get them niggas off the stage. 30 seconds or less.
That's real sad.
I hear it. I feel like it's a very vintage and old craft, and it's got to be done kind of like in a very good way as well. And a lot of people, obviously, we're in the social media era now, isn't it? So those kind of things are dying out. But then in America, it's different. And I feel like, would you want to possibly like cross over? Do you think that's something that you would ever want to, you'd ever want to do? Cross over to the scene, like an American scene, and see how you fare up over there.
Yeah, definitely. Because I don't know, the UK just
say UK is bad vibes, bro.
It is though, man. Like, I know everyone says it, but the UK really bad vibes. Is bad vibes. And as much as I know that people will support, and you know, people always want the best for, they want to support black women, they want to, of course, but it just feels like in the UK there's only so far you can go as a black comedian, especially as a black female comedian. Like, and they don't, the British public don't like change.
What do you mean?
So we've had the same presenters and comedians in our faces for the past 20 years.
Facts. That's facts. Fucking hell. That's facts.
They're not bored.
That is facts.
And when
facts.
It is a new black comedian, it's like one in, one out.
Yeah.
So it's almost like you have to wait your turn when you're like, if you're a black comedian in the UK, whereas in America, these lot are taking off, man. Like, comedy is huge over there
because obviously we're smaller, so it's like we kind of know who are,
yeah, exactly,
like the main circuit is, whereas over there it's so big, like you can, like there's like probably like how many comedians just in like one state alone,
exactly,
you get it. So
and they graft,
yeah, they graft
and it's crazy. So I would love to cross over, man.
I can see you in the States, little comedy club going crazy, bro. Definitely. What's like the dreams for you, like the aspirations, like comedy wise how big do you want to go with it? Live shows.
As big as I could possibly go, man.
Tours, arenas. You're going on tour. So you want to tell the listeners what's going on?
Yeah. So going on tour with White Yardie, end of Feb to like
May. That should be lit, man.
Yeah, it should be really good.
Where are you guys going? Like, which?
Everywhere, man. So we've got Nottingham, Cardiff, a couple of shows in London.
Yeah.
I've got the poster.
How are you feeling about the tour?
I'm really excited, man. It's my first tour.
How'd you get the call up?
So White Yardie's my manager.
Oh, swear.
Yeah. So
crazy.
He's one of my managers. So when he was doing a tour,
yeah,
man, you can open up. I was like, sick, man.
Okay.
It'll be different. It's a slightly longer set.
Mm-hmm.
So it's proper things, man.
Any, like, is it good, proper new stuff, or just refined things that you've already kind of done before?
I'm gonna mix it up with both.
Yes.
So obviously I'm going to use the jokes that I know will bang,
yeah,
and then I'm going to mix in a few new ones as well.
Do you get nervous going on stage?
Oh, I shit myself.
So right?
It's actually outrageous.
What's like your routine? Do you have like a routine before you go on stage?
I pray. Never been on stage without praying.
Bless up.
Never.
Like, bless up.
I'll listen to Smile by Kirk Franklin. And then I'm
that's your go-to, yeah?
That's my go-to. I'll listen to Smile some and prayer to get me...
Bachelor, like, and prayer. That's what we're saying.
Yeah, that's honestly, like... And as soon as I hit that prayer, God, remove any negative feelings, any anxiety, amen, any fear. I pray that I remember everything I need to. I pray that everyone receives my comedy well. Every time, man.
Good from there. Do you forget jokes?
I forget lines.
Yeah. Is it improv?
The way I learn my sets, I'm always kind of able to rally back to where I need to be. So even though I know that I'll forget a line, I know what's coming next.
I've always been interested in how like comedians learn sets, because it's like, it's not, is it like reading scripts?
It's different for everyone. So some people can just write down ice cream, or like Jamaica and Nigerian men, and they'll just, that's all they need. And
and they just kind of hit the points. Okay, yeah.
Whereas first. Me, I kind of have to write my stuff down word for word so that I know where I'm kind of going with it.
Okay.
And then once I know what I'm about to say, I can go off on a tangent and I can come back. It's a lot easier for me to improvise if I know what I'm kind of saying. So yeah, it depends on the person, man.
Damn. The comedy game is crazy, bro. It's very, very crazy, man.
It really is.
But I feel like it's got to grow. It's got to get there. I would say, I feel like the most important thing for me that I've seen over the years in regards to comedy and like people that really stick out is obviously being funny is one, but also like talking about things that are very like relevant, like socially as well. And obviously, like I said, Dave Chappelle, like, he's the GOAT for that, bro. Like he remains funny just because he's so like, he eloquently just like says the things that he needs to say, and it's funny as well. But at the same time, you get something. Cause I don't know, would you feel like, do you think like it's a thing where people come to your set and take something away from it? Other than just the jokes, do you feel like someone should learn something being in a comedy club?
It depends.
Depends like what your goal is, isn't it? It's just laughter.
Yeah, like not every comedian is
something. You ain't gotta be woke.
I spoke to someone the other day and they were like, "No, I like Dave Chappelle because I leave and I'm like, oh, I'm enlightened. I know I learned something." I'm just like, he came here to laugh. Do you know what I mean?
Fair.
Dave Chappelle is goated because you'll laugh, you'll learn.
Yeah, regardless.
You feel good. But he's reached a status where he can say whatever he wants and he can walk away, money in hand, he's good. But a lot of comedians coming up, they don't really have the luxury to say whatever they want.
Fizz.
Because opportunities won't come your way, do you know what I mean? And obviously you have to be smart about it.
Mm.
You obviously have to speak about issues that are important to you.
Yeah.
But when I'm on stage, it's kind of just speaking about relatable things that people can laugh about.
Okay.
So being a young woman in London, it's dating, you know, it's growing up in a Jamaican household. It's different things that I've experienced with my friends. Like, I've had to chase my friends and stop them from slitting guys' tires before.
What's going on, bruv?
I've had some funny experiences. So That's what I'm here to deliver. I'm here to make people remember the good times, the funny times, you know. And if there is anything serious, it's about kind of being able to see the good in it. I don't really want people to just be thinking about racism and the fact that we were slaves. Do you know what I mean? I don't need to be deep in that when I'm trying to.
How you make racism funny? To be fair, comedians do it anyways.
They do it all the time.
It's not even a question to ask. They do it all the time.
People will do sets and they'll be like, sometimes I see white people say they don't wash, and I'm like, how did these people enslave us? Like stuff
that's
like
funny.
That.
Yeah.
You can make a joke out of it. Yeah. You know what I mean? But yeah, I think it just depends on the comedian.
How do your parents feel about you doing comedy, bro? That must be a new thing, man.
Yeah, no, they
woke up one day and said you want to be a stand-up comedian. What is that about?
No, honestly, I think when I first saw my mum, she was like, okay.
Let me process this one real quick.
Yeah, fair enough, man. When she started to see that I was doing shows and I'm doing shows with people she went to see, that's when she started to be like, okay.
All right, let's see where this goes.
You know what I mean? And both of them think I got it from them. They're like, yeah, you got the funny genes from me.
Hello, whoa.
I didn't get it from any.
Who's the funniest in your household? Don't say yourself.
It is me though.
Cara, don't do that, man.
It is me.
Have some shame, will ya? Yeah? Who's the funniest in your household?
It genuinely is me. It's not even.
You think you're the funniest in your household?
I'm the funniest in my household.
Have you got siblings?
I do. On my mom's side and my dad's side.
Okay, first.
But regardless, in my whole family, it is me.
It's you, yeah.
100%. Wow,
claiming that with your chest.
That's crazy. The one thing I have. Like, why are you trying to take that away from me? I am the funniest person I know. And crazy. That's completely fine. That's cool.
Wow. Nah. Have you seen some really bad comedy?
I've seen people get booed.
I'm intrigued to see how people like I've never seen a bad set because you know what? I feel like maybe this is something I need to do this year, bro.
Have you seen a comedy show?
I've never been to a comedy show, you know.
Okay.
Ever, like in the UK. Obviously all the stuff I watch are specials on Netflix. So you got the Wayans, Marlon, Dave Chappelle.
I have a comedy day party at the end of the month, so
okay.
You guys can
say, yeah, no Kyra, man, let me in, bro. What's going on? What? Wait, no Kyra, man, let me in. No,
if you don't come to shows, I don't want to hear it.
I know. No. I'm there. But yeah, I've never been to a show, so I've never seen a bad performance. You've seen them. What does that look like?
It's very hard. Like, it's very hard to read the audience. So some people will come with jokes about like black people and it's a white person.
Yeah, that's a come on, bro. That's a
but it will work.
That's a nah. That's a wrong. I don't ever advise that. I'll be real.
I wouldn't ever advise.
Like for example, Gary Owens. For example, I don't know how he got into the stage of making black jokes. Yeah, but then again, he's got a black wife. He's got his wife is black. So but
when you're around black people and you grow up around them, he's gauged their nuances. He's gauged how they react to certain things, you know, how they reacted to him, and he's been able to create a career out of that. So
but you're talking about just pure straight white men coming on stage making black jokes.
There's like people will come. There's a guy that just came on stage and was like, "Yeah, I've had a black girlfriend once. I like black porn." Like
what the fuck?
And everyone was just like, "Huh?" So you have to be very selective with your audience. And some people just come on, they try to cuss audience members, and they're like,
"Yeah, that was a bad thing as well, still."
It will backfire. You just have to be really careful. You have to read your audience, man.
But you don't really know what your audience. I mean, I guess you can tell by. Do you ever read your audience by the venues that you go to?
Nine times out of ten, you can tell like if it's a comedy club or if it's like if you're doing a show in like Lewisham, you're doing a show in like I don't know Bromley, I can kind of gauge what material will work, what material won't work, the type of crowd that they usually bring in. So I know that my set about growing up in a Jamaican household will bang more with a predominantly Jamaican crowd. Older Jamaican people because they relate to it. So yeah, it just depends, man.
Was you born in Jamaica or was you born here?
No, I was born here.
Okay, fair. Yeah. Both your parents are Jamaican?
Yeah.
Sad. You been to Jamaica Zoo?
Yeah.
When last did you go?
It's so sad. I think it was actually sixth form.
Sixth form?
I think I was.
God 18. Damn, Carrie. You got to go home.
I know, man.
You got to go home. It's so
depressing. Because it's so expensive to go.
December times, but then again, boy, flying out in this time period that we're in is very, very long.
I'm trying to go this year, but COVID, man.
You did something sick for Prime, I saw as well recently.
Yeah.
I think who was hosting? Was it Audrey from Receipts?
Audrey from the Receipts, yeah.
You did like a little set on Prime Video. That was wavy. How was that?
Thanks, man. That was really good. It was massive for me anyway.
Mm. Was it nervous? Are you nervous?
I was absolutely shiting myself. Because that was my first like TV kind of like doing a set via like, you know, cameras, makeup. Like I was like,
proper.
Do you know what I mean? I was like, and I got told about it that day.
You got told about it on the day?
My mum woke me up because my manager was calling her and she was like, he said to wake up. He's got something to tell you. I said, okay. He called me. He was like, yeah. Car's coming for you at 11:30. I said 11:30.
All right, here we go.
I had to do my makeup. He was like, "Don't wear no tracksuit or fleece." I said, "Cool."
Yeah, can't run that.
But yeah, man, it was amazing.
That's
was
good. Really How was good. The reception from the audience? Was it good?
Really good. Everyone was super supportive. Like, even
was it predominantly women? I don't know, because I saw it was like a round table of like women, like girls discussing stuff.
Yeah. So
I didn't know how it worked. So what was it exactly? What was it called? Talk to Us or something like that?
Talk That Talk.
Talk That Talk. That's it.
And it's basically a new show on Amazon Prime.
Nice.
And that episode they were talking about Harlem, which is the new
show of Harlem. Yeah,
Megan
yeah.
Good. It's like a black Sex in the City kind of thing. So a lot of it was talking about men and the dating scene and da da. The majority of the audience were women.
Fairs.
But there were a few men.
I can understand that's Audrey, so yeah, that's the crowd that she'd bring with her.
So yeah, man, it was really good. Everyone was really supportive, they were really nice. Got a shot before I went on stage. I was like, yeah, man, it was good. That's it was lit, really, bro. Really good.
Nah, that's really good. That's really good. Yeah, that must have been amazing, bro.
It was really good.
What are you looking forward to this year, like, in regards to your comedy? Like,
just kind of getting my name out there more. Hopefully doing more shows. Hopefully by the end of this year, I can do a headline show.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yeah. Need that.
Starting to put things in place and action, really.
Oh, sir, I got a question for you. Do you guys find it intimidating that you're a comedian? Because I always hear the saying about my girl can't be funnier than me.
Yeah, but it's men that aren't even funny that say stuff like that. You know what I mean?
What? So my girl can't be funnier than me. No, but my girl can't be funnier than me.
That's beta male energy.
No. How crazy that is. She actually can't still, bro.
Your girl can't be funnier than you?
Nah.
That's embarrassing. Like, what do you mean?
She can't be funnier than me. Because I'm funny. So if you're funnier than me,
Every time I meet someone, they're like, "Oh, you do stand up comedy? Oh, I'm funny. I can do that." What are you talking about? Like, it's just not the same.
Nah, playing. It would be nice. If I could, obviously, to have someone funnier than you, I think it's a blessing still. It's nice.
No, it is, man.
So, like, in like relationships and stuff, like, how does that pose? How does that look?
To be fair, I've never really met anyone that was intimidated by it. If anything, they've been really, really interested supportive. In it. And okay. really supportive.
Nice.
Like, interested in them because they've never met anyone that, like, does comedy. That does that. So they're like, "Raw, I swear. Okay, sick."
They just say, like, make you laugh. Like, make me laugh.
Make. Do you think you can turn to me and say, make me laugh, and I'm going to give laugh, you a man. Joke? Everybody's
Karen, crazy. It's 5 o'clock, bro. You haven't said a joke
you
know, once.
Do you know how ridiculous that is? Waking me up out of my sleep saying, that's make funny. Me laugh.
Make me laugh, man. You made me laugh all day, bro.
I'm not a... absolute dickhead.
That's hilarious.
That's not gonna happen.
Has it ever caused any like conflicts or problems being a stand-up comedian? Like imagine just like saying stuff on stage that in past relations have like have you been called out on that? Like, oh, why did you say that on stage?
No. No one can call me out.
Raw. All right. Talk your shit.
As in like you the way I make my material, yeah. you'll never know it's about you.
Okay.
And you don't have enough confidence to ask me if it's about you.
Raw.
You should actually be embarrassed if it was about you. Do you know what I mean?
So you never brought out a certain situation on the stage. You have though. Because it's your experience, right?
Yeah. I've spoken about experiences. Like I've spoken about bad dates. Like there was a guy, I went on a date with him and he picked up, caught a chicken from Nando's with his hand and he ate it.
As in he as ate in, it with his hand?
He, instead of a knife and fork, he used his hand. And he picked
was
up.
He hungry? How long were you guys waiting for?
What do you
for?
Mean, was he hungry? Nah, as nah, if nah, that's nah. an exception.
I can hear it.
So if you're hungry enough, you'll be in a restaurant and you'll pick it up with your hand. Do you know how big a quarter chicken is?
I can hear it. It's excused. If he was waiting for a while, he was hungry, yeah?
You weren't waiting for a while, though.
It could run. So because of that was it. Date done.
Never saw me again. Like, why are you picking up? Do you know how big that is?
They done because man grabbed chicken to eat with his hand.
With his in Nando's, and he was like, "What? It's chicken and chips. When you eat chicken and chips, don't you pick up with your hand?
Yeah, you do.
Big so, man, we're not in Morley's. We're in Nando's.
That is hilarious, bro.
Yeah, you're not. You're ridiculous. But he's never popped up and been like, "Oh, was that about me? You can never."
That's what I'm saying though. Imagine you're just chilling one day, Kara's on your TV and she's talking about the fact that you picked up chicken with your hands in Nando's.
But you'll never know it's about you.
How do you disguise it then? Because it's still the same story.
Instead of Nando's, I might say like...
Oh, that's what you do. Okay, okay.
I might say you're in somewhere else.
Fair. I'm looking forward to this tour, man. I'm going to keep up to date with it. Where's the first place you lot are going?
Nottingham.
How long are you there? Just a day or a couple?
Yeah, no, so it's literally just like... Yeah, not for a day next, I think Manchester. I don't know.
Okay. When is the London show? Do you know off the top of your head?
So North London, I know the South London one is on the 1st of May.
Oh, bro, we've got a way to go still. When does the tour start?
End of Feb.
Okay, Feb.
So North London's on the 2nd of April.
Okay.
Yeah, so.
Nice. Nah, that's going to be good, man. It's going to be good. Are you ready? Materials on deck.
I'm excited.
That's really good, man.
Yeah, and the crowd that he brings in is always really like, they're there to laugh, you know, they're good vibes. Everyone's trying to drink, everyone's just trying to have a great time. So it's always quite a nice crowd to perform.
I remember I saw something on Instagram about, I think he went on a show, like, I'm talking about White Yard, he went on a show. There was like this whole run about like where he's from and stuff like that. I remember that a while back. To be fair though, I never used to think it was an act. Like his name's White Yardy, I always used to think it was an act because his name was White Yardy. I thought it was an act, and I just thought he did it very well.
But then
I got to the stage where I was like, okay, he was actually born and bred in Jamaica. So I was like, right, I did not. Like,
I think it's so crazy that
I did not know that, bro.
Do you think he'd be able to get away with it? Keep him around. Like you see him around a lot of.
Yeah, but it's the same concept back with the whole Gary Owens thing. It's like if you're indoctrinated enough, you can get away with it without people thinking that.
It's different with like speaking slang.
Yeah.
It's completely different to having a whole accent. Yeah, fair, do you know what I mean?
That's so true.
If he was just like, yo, blood, no one can really say, oh, you're. He has a whole Jamaican accent.
Yeah, fairs.
And you've come to ask him with your whole Queen's English accent. You've come to ask a man, when did you decide to be Jamaican? Do you know how outrageous that is? Do you know how crazy that is?
Yeah, I can understand why he took it offensively still.
If a white person asked me, when did you decide to be British?
Yeah.
There's no way you could ever ask me that question.
I can tell why he took it offensively still.
It was a crazy question. Yeah. That's crazy.
The fame, that's what I'm saying with comedians, the fame, like the spotlight, it's crazy sometimes, man. Being put in a position where like a lot of eyes are on you, it's, I don't know, you got to be media trained and start. Do you think you're ever going to get to a stage where you're going to have to start censoring your jokes? Do you think you ever reach that? Would you ever think?
I don't think my jokes are really
out there like that anyways.
They're not outrageous, but I would really need to censor them. Like, I don't really offend anyone, you know. Angry, insecure men in my comments is not really enough for me to censor my jokes. Do you know what I mean? So, my jokes are just funny. I'm just there to make people laugh. I'm not there to make people upset or offend anyone. So, hopefully not. I won't have to get to that point. But no, I don't know, man. It's so daunting. I already told my friends, like, because my friends are crazy, innit? So they already know, like, by God's grace, if I reach a certain point, they all have burners.
Oh, swear down.
They're on it. Like, my friends are crazy.
Niggas ready to ride out, bro.
They're ready to ride out.
That's funny.
My friend was like, I don't even need a burner. I dare anyone say anything.
Do you read comments? Like, for example, the meme page you're on, did you read all of them? Yeah?
I read some of them, but once I saw, like, so there was like over 200 comments, and I saw that there were only like 6 bad ones, but once I saw the 6 bad ones, I just stopped.
Are comments like an indication of whether your jokes bang or not? Especially on your page, for example.
Yeah, so if I know that people have really enjoyed the joke, if they're commenting on it, if they're engaging in it, if they're tagging their friends in it, if I can see that people are sending it to their other friends, that's always a big indication for me. I try not to read comments.
Because it's hard though.
You can just get sucked in.
Well, into trying to just see what people are saying all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, first, I get it.
But it's
hard though, it's hard. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's very hard. Man. It's very hard. So you've got the tour coming up.
Yeah.
You just done the Prime video. That was amazing as well. Any other big projects you got going on soon?
I've got a few events coming up that I'm doing.
Nice.
And hopefully, like I said, headline tour a bit later on in the year. But we just have to see how everything goes, man.
I'm looking forward to it, man. This is nice. We need more women in the stand-up game, bro. We need more women in the stand-up game, bro. I'd like to see it, bro. This is my first interaction anyway, so
yeah.
We need definitely. But yeah, before we go, this is the chance for you to plug yourselves, let everybody know what you got going on, what you're doing, your app, all of that stuff. So take it away, miss.
Now, okay, cool. So if you want to follow me on my Instagram, it's Kyra Gray. So that's KYRAHGRAY. It's the same on my TikTok and my Twitter. Yeah, man, got a comedy day party. I don't know when this is coming out.
This is coming out the week after next.
Yeah, no, it'll be gone. Well, anyway, I would have had a comedy day party at the end of the month. Got loads of events coming up. Going on tour soon. Check out the video on Prime if you haven't watched it already. Mm. Just keep a lookout for my face, man. My God's grace.
Look out for Kyra, man. She's lit, bro. She's lit. But yeah, man, that's Real Soulful episode 69. And that is a wrap. Done.